It is 7:30 and I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for January 7th, 2019 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capelini here.
Mr. Frye.
Here.
Mr. Hayden.
Here.
Mrs. Husman.
Here.
Mr. Lukey.
Here.
Mr. Richardson.
Here.
Mrs. Westfall.
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome all of you to our City Council meeting. I believe that most of you are here on the same issue regarding annexation. However, you're not on our agenda. We will add you in just a minute or two, but we need to get our meeting started with our Pledge of Allegiance. So I welcome you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mr. Hanum.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That gets us down to additions to the agenda. And as agenda item 4A, following the approval of our meeting minutes, we will allow all or any of you to speak as long as the comments do not become terribly repetitive. I recommend that you have a few spokesmen designated to discuss your or to give your points to City Council. I know I am interested and City Council is interested as well, but this was not on the agenda and City Council and I are not prepared to discuss it with you. This is not a public hearing about annexation, but you all took the trouble to be here this evening and we appreciate that. You got to hear about council business, about the bridge aesthetics over US 23, and you're welcome to stay as long as you want. But we are putting your opportunity to speak right at the top of the agenda in just a couple of minutes here following approval of the council meeting minutes. I have no additions to the agenda other than that at this time. Mrs. Westfall?
Nothing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Other members of City Council? Mr. Lukey?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, as part of the Community Relations Committee report, at the end of the meeting, we will have some proposed legislation for an appointment to the SAGR board.
All right. The clerk has distributed that, and we will get to it as a part of 13A.
So we're going to do the appointment of Brian Keyser as 13B. Is that right? Okay.
13.
No, it would have to be
13A is committee of the whole report.
It's 17, excuse me. We do.
Oh,
it will be 17B. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Anything additional from Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
From Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Bryant? All right. That's our agenda for this evening. Is there a motion to approve it as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda for this evening's meeting is approved. Going on to agenda item 4 is approval of our meeting minutes from our last meeting on December 17th. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the meeting minutes for Sylvania City Council meeting held on December 17th, 2018 as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve those meeting minutes. It's submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes of December 17th, 2018 are approved. Now we'll go to added agenda item 4A, which is request to speak. Mr. Verkennis came up earlier. That was the first request that I received, and you're certainly welcome to address us again. You were here 5 weeks ago, and I assume you have something new to say, but you're welcome to come up.
Tonight, I wanted to kind of share my personal story with you of why this forced annexation attempt has been such a difficult situation for my family. About 6 weeks, six months ago, my wife and I bought what we thought was the perfect house for our family in Sylvania Township. We bought it in the township for a specific reason, that we needed a decent-sized home. While we support Sylvania schools with our tax dollars, we've chosen a faith-based education for our kids. And Catholic schools are not an inexpensive option. My wife and I ran the numbers and knew that by moving to the township, we would save about $3,600, enough to pay for almost half of our kids' total tuition at St. Joe each year. They're in the fourth and fifth grade respectively, and by moving to the township, we knew that we'd be able to allocate the money we would save by not having an income tax over the next 5 years, about $18,000 towards their elementary school education. Not to mention that we are already setting aside money for high school and college tuition. Now, some may say we should just send our kids to Sylvania schools, but that's really not anyone's business. It's our personal decision and a financial sacrifice we're quite passionate about. We thought we had it all worked out. We moved in, we reduced our mortgage significantly, and lightened our tax load so we could set aside funds for our kids' education. We had all the services we ever wanted or expected being handled quite well by Sylvania Township. Then we got a huge punch in the gut, courtesy of an unexpected and confusingly written letter, an incomplete petition full of blank lines from the city of Sylvania. The letter stated that at the time the property listed first began to receive water service, an agreement was signed between the city and the property. The agreement states that in exchange for the extension of service outside quote limits, the owner or to whom anyone the property was later sold to be delivered prior to the signed petition, requesting annexation to the city. When I asked the city law director what this was all about, she said that there was a restricted covenant on my property that ran with the land. After a city council meeting last month, I spoke with Councilman Doug Keenum, who told me I should have learned about the restricted covenant when I closed on my property, and it was my fault that I should have had an attorney at the close. He told me that I should not be upset with the city, rather I should sue the realtor. After this rather odd and disappointing interaction, I did some research. I called various city administrators, including Tim Burns and Ms. Bryant, and the mayor's office, asking for a copy of this covenant. I called my title agency. Nothing. They could find nothing. I called the auditor's office of Lucas County. Nothing. I called the recorder's office. I filed a public records request to the city for the document. Nothing. No response for 3 weeks from the city. I emailed the city that I was prepared to take legal action to get my request fulfilled. The very next day, Ms. Bryant emailed me the water agreement I signed to set up service at my house. I emailed back, asking again for the restrictive covenant that I had been told I had. No response. On December 27th, I had my one-on-one meeting with Ms. Bryant, Jim Mohn, and Bill Santry. I asked Ms. Bryant directly if I had a restrictive covenant on my property. She had 3.7. The runaround was finally over. Come to find out, it appears that no homes in the Meadows subdivisions have restrictive covenants in the title work, and the only way the city can get them is by catching people after moving in. The city is doing to others exactly what it did to me, the gotcha game of annexation. It works like this. Someone like me finds the home their family has always wanted. We go through the long process of selling our home and buying our new home. We believe we're going to save thousands per year in income taxes because we made a smart decision. We move in. We're thrilled. We go to transfer the water into our name, and then we learn we're completely stuck. We are already in our new home, and in order for our family to cook, shower, and wash our clothes, we must agree to let the city annex our property and collect $4,000 a year we plan to spend on our kids' education so the city can annex us. What a scam. Members of council, how would you be feeling if this happened to you? Would you have much respect at all for how the city of Sylvania conducts business or treats its neighbors? It's funny because Mayor Stowe likes to preach about regionalization when it comes to water. Just Google his name and you'll see all the platitudes about regionalization and communities working together. Yet he's forcefully trying to annex the property of citizens outside his jurisdiction by using water as a political weapon. He feels justified doing this because Sylvania laid waterline extensions 20 or 30 years ago. Yet he simply buys water from Toledo that charges Sylvania Township residents 25% more for it. Shouldn't that extra 25% per month township residents have been paying Sylvania for Toledo's water for all these years, have paid for those line extensions by now? Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. If you'd like to speak, come on up, tell us who you are, and give us an address.
I'm part of the Parklands in Sylvan Hills. first, I do really appreciate you allowing us to speak first. You know, unfortunately, it's much later, and my class is all down the game tonight. I did not receive a letter of annexation, but a lot of my neighbors have, and I used to be a trustee many years ago. I am also a realtor since 2002. And so I do have some questions and some comments, and I'll try to be real brief. I received a notice from the township today regarding this, because there's been so many people in my neighborhood upset, and of course I'm very concerned, because I feel if you're going to annex part of my subdivision, I will be next. That being said, my water bill is paid to the city, so I started studying up, reading some Blade articles, and council member Hanum, I'm going to paraphrase, but was quoted essentially that the city just wants to get all the homes under one water jurisdiction, all the ones that are paying to the city of Sylvania. Just have one jurisdiction. It's not more complicated than that. I would contend it's very upsetting, maybe not complicated, but very upsetting for those of us who moved into the township because we wanted to live in the township. I moved here in 2000 from out of state. I was not a realtor at that time, but at that time I had moved 8 times in 14 years. So I had a lot of experience in moving. My mother is a realtor, my brother is a realtor and a developer. In that time, I had an attorney. At my closing, no one told me that I would be held hostage to water and annexation by buying my home. I bought my home in 2000. I closed on my home at a reputable title agency. No one mentioned anything. I went to the offices here at the city to have my water turned on or get my bill, my recollection. I do clearly remember the woman explaining to me that they would turn my water off if I did not sign the form. I have 3 children. Now imagine moving to a new city, from out of state, new state, and they just told you, you're not going to get water even though you just bought this home. Of course I signed the form. Now we can argue if that's coercion, whatever, but that's what happened. And I suspect that's what happens to a lot of people. So if the contention is, we should know better, we should be advised better, my suggestion would be that the city provides that form for signature to all title agencies here, and it becomes a part of the title packet at closing. So it's very clear to everyone, when they buy their home, they might not live in the township anymore. Because I made a decision, my husband and I, for 2 reasons to move to a township. We've always lived in townships, everywhere we've lived. 1, income tax. My husband does not work in any municipality and never has. He's working in Boston now. Secondly, I love the government of the township. I love being able to call up my own trash company if I'm dissatisfied. I have a conversation with them, not a bureaucracy, about it. I can fire them and I can hire them. My leaf collection, my snow removal is fantastic. And I am going to vote for those services. They will be provided because I go to the booth and I say yes to the road tax or no. We're based on levies. I like that. I don't want to hand over my income tax to any municipality and give you that. That's my personal choice. That's why I chose the township, okay? Now, fast forward, when I was here, I was told on more than one occasion that the city of Sylvania does not employ aggressive annexation of residential properties, that is not their policy. I have subsequently learned that's not true, that you have this other sort of policy. It would be great to really have that policy maybe posted and written, but that was my understanding from members of council. The city is not interested in aggressive annexation of residential property. Now, if there was a commercial property and they need water, a new development, any new developments, and they want to tie into the water line, yes. But we're not interested in coming after your property. That is what I have been told on way more than one occasion. The auditor stated, or there was a quote in the Blade, and these are to the supposed benefits to us, that the property tax in the city of Sylvania is lower by about $600. I would contend that maybe there also needs to be more information gathered on that, because if you look at township and the median home price in the township and do a comparative analysis with the median home price in the city, you may find that difference directly correlates to the property tax difference. So I think to get a fair picture, there needs to be more information provided on that. There was also a quote, I think, from the law director of the city that it's only a new tax of 1.5%. As this gentleman just stated, that's a significant amount. He can send his kids to the school that he chooses. For other people, it'll be a lot higher. I did some math just on the 400 to 500 homes that are being proposed for annexation and that income and what it will bring to the city is clearly, based on just median household income, over $250,000. Based on bringing that into your general fund and the benefit to the township residents is a reduction of $30,000, doesn't seem equitable to me. So I'm only left to ask, why are you doing this? Why are you directing annexation of residential properties now? I have lived here nearly 20 years and you didn't want my house. What changed? Do you need the money in your general fund is all I can conclude. Or the house bill that's in our house legislature that's going to limit the ability to annex might be pushing this. Or possibly this new regional water authority. Maybe you need more homes under that umbrella so that you can have a better governing position. I don't know. I'm left to imagine why you're coming after our residences and our income. Because I don't want the services. I don't feel you provide more services in any way to me for the income tax that you're going to take. So that's my comments. I really do appreciate your time. Thank you.
By your applause, I feel that these two speakers probably represented your position pretty well. I need to ask, is there anybody here that's a resident of the city of Sylvania or somebody that wants to speak on the other side? Because we have had quite a few people come in and sign their annexation petitions. They would not be coming here to complain tonight. Not as many people as are in the room have signed the petitions. I'm not prepared to answer a question like that. I don't know. If you want to speak, you need to come up. You need to identify yourself and come up. We're not having a discussion. You can come up and address council if you have something additional to say.
Yeah, hi. Jim Sanford, 7602 Olympic Parkway. Are you guys going to answer this lady's questions? These are all valid questions. I mean, what's the process? First of all, I'm going to make a comment now that I have the floor. So. I'm going to the mailbox, I think it's an Ohio State Michigan game, and lo and behold, I see a letter, annex. I won't look through everything, I understand the annex. Don't do anything about it. I get another one 2 weeks later, threatening, you know, lawsuit, we're going to do this and that. And I'm thinking, I moved to the city of Sylvania Township because I love the Sylvania area. My family's here. Where's the collaboration? why didn't you guys, this time of year, November, send out a letter and say, hey, you know what, we're thinking about annexing you guys for these reasons that you listed. We're going to have town meetings, meeting like this, all year long. They had dialogue back and forth, and then we're going to send out the vote. This is a collaboration. This is, we can come up here, I feel like we can say whatever we want, defend our turf, but you guys have an agenda. What are you going to do with that extra money? That's my big question. And why didn't you guys have informal meetings with the community? I don't know if I want to join the city of Sylvania if this is the way it is. It's my way or the highway. That's what it feels like to me. Does anyone agree that you should have maybe sent out an informal collaboration letter? This is our plan? Because I still don't even know what your strategy is. So maybe, when's the proper time to go through that? That would be my question.
All right. We'll take one more speaker. Come on up, and then we're going to move on to our rest of our agenda this evening. I'll take one more speaker.
That enables our Sylvania community, which these people and all of your constituents probably all think of it in a much broader sense than just the city or the township. It's a combined thing. We have combined schools, we have a combined recreation district, we have a combined fire department and emergency services and all kinds of things. People think about this as the Sylvania community. The lack of an income tax in the township attracts affluent people to the Sylvania area, to the greater Sylvania community. A lot of them concentrate in the township for the very reason that it saves them income tax. The more money people make, the more beneficial it is for them to live in the township rather than the city. And so if you annex more and more property into the city, and right now we seem to be going after several of the more affluent neighborhoods in the area, you then make that a place where those affluent people now have a significantly higher cost to choose to live there rather than living somewhere else. So I would encourage you, as you think about this, if there's any room left in the decision-making process, to consider the negative impact that you're going to have in the entire Sylvania community by doing this. And the second point is that, of course, if we could annex some of the real estate tax revenue that had been going to the township and now shift to the city, and which then I assume will probably leave the township with a deficit, that, you know, again, is that fair to the greater Sylvania community? I think you should consider that. The other thing, then, from that standpoint, that you know, because people consciously make a decision to live in the township, if you annex my property into the city, there's now fewer people who want to buy my house. It adversely affects the value of my property, and you are essentially taking a property right from me. And I know you think you have the right to, based on these covenant agreements and so on, but it is forced. You know, just with a gun in our mouth is the way this is going to go down. And I just don't think it's right. I think you should reconsider the overall effect on the Sylvania community. And what, echoing another comment that's made, it is terribly ironic that the city of Sylvania is taking the lead in this regional water program, in large part because you don't like the bullying and strong-arm tactics you get from the city of Toledo working with their water, and then you turn right around and use their water to bully and strong-arm us into doing something that none of these people want to do. That's what I have to say.
Thank you. I appreciate, and I'm sure all of City Council appreciates, the comments that you've made, and I appreciate how well behaved you've been this evening. This is a large group to come in, and you've done very well. If there are specific questions you'd like to ask, those can be directed to our law director, who will meet with any of you. She has a calculation sheet where she can calculate how it affects your property taxes or your income taxes or other fees and service taxes, or you can certainly approach city council members. But at this time, I'd like to move ahead with the rest of our agenda. You are welcome to stay with us. We have two pages of agenda to go through, or if you want, you can go right now.
No feedback. We've got collaboration.
I'm surprised somebody in city council was. I do feel both sides. There were some mistruths spoken, but there was a lot of truth spoken as well.
I don't know who that is. I mean, I've seen him, I've met him, I know his name, but I can't think of it. Teresa from the Port Authority.
Teresa.
Snipe. What's the next thing on the agenda?
Looks like we got a can light out.
You want some?
Do you know what this is?
What?
These three things?
Yep.
Do we know it? Are they going to explain that?
I don't know, but I can if somebody wants
me
to.
I'm not asking you to do their job for you.
There we go. Okay, we will continue on with our meeting now. We are at agenda item 5, and 5, 6, and 7 all run together. They are all to accomplish one goal, that is to establish within the city of Sylvania a property-assessed clean energy financing program, or PACE, as proposed by the Port Authority of Toledo. And I would like the law director to describe this program to us and how what's going to happen. But I can tell you that this is a program that Mr. Sanford and I learned about from the Port Authority, and we wanted to bring it back to the city of Sylvania. We were proposing that we would make some energy improvements to city buildings so that we could bring this program to Sylvania, but we've had a property owner in the city come to us and would like to participate even before we got our program together. Mrs. Brining.
That's correct. Thank you, Mayor. And I do see that Teresa Snyder from the Port Authority is here. She's the one that's in charge of the putting the program together and working with the property owners to put together their financing. As the mayor said, what the city will be joining is called the ESID, which is an Energy Special Improvement District. This is Port Authority money that is lent to the property owner for qualified energy improvements that they want to make to their building. The city is not lending any money. Our only involvement is to participate as a member of the ESID and also to put the assessment on their property taxes. As you can see, this specific project is for the Vibrant Ventures, which is actually Funnigan's, and they are proposing to do about $500,000 worth of improvements that will then go on their property taxes for, is it 15 years, Teresa? Thank you. For 15 years, and will be collected as an assessment on their property taxes. So the legislation is to join the ESID, to levy the assessment, and to approve the joint petition. Those are the three pieces of legislation. So I don't know if anyone has any questions for Teresa.
I'm a little confused. Is this legislation being created specifically for this single property owner, or is it legislation that then would be available to other property owners without additional action by council?
That's correct, Mr. Lukey. So once the city joins the ECID, then any property owner, we would still have to pass legislation to levy the assessment, to put the assessment on the property tax bills, but once we're a member, then it's available to any commercial, or actually the Port Authority is just working with a land bank to establish a residential program as well.
Okay, so this sounds like it could become popular. So who actually manages or administers this? Is it the city?
It's
or
the,
is
Port
it the Port
Authority.
Authority? The Port Authority. So requests for the program would go through the Port Authority?
Yes.
So we're simply taking the step of attaching the property, attaching it to the property tax?
The application, the underwriting, everything is done through the Port Authority. We don't do anything except for join the ECID and then put it on their property tax bills.
All right.
So in the future, okay, once we adopt resolution number one, in the future we'd have to adopt ordinances like ordinance one and ordinance two?
Correct.
Okay. So if somebody else wanted to do it, we'd do similar ordinances?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, I have three comments. One, in the, I noticed it in the resolution. I didn't see it in the ordinance. In section one of the resolution, we have a board, that this board accepts, and that should be this council.
Sorry.
That's just a typo.
Yep.
And am I correct that we get to appoint someone to the board of directors?
That's correct.
And that's a joint appointment between council and the mayor?
That's correct.
Right? So when would we, do you know when we?
We can do that at the, there's no immediacy for the seat appointment. There is a little bit of a time constraint on the legislation passage. This was closed by the Port Authority at the beginning of December.
Yeah.
And they want to participate in sell bonds at the end of January. So there's no immediacy for the board seat, but a little bit of a time constraint for this part.
Well, I'm good with the legislation.
Okay.
The other question I had was this assessment runs with the land. So is that right? So that if Funnigan sells their property, it stays with the property, right?
That's correct.
And I assume this is like a mortgage, is it? So it's not dischargeable in bankruptcy. Am I right about that?
That, yeah. For that question, you'll need to ask.
To lien on the property, I take it, right?
Teresa Snyder, this is Development Manager Lewis Port Authority. It is a special assessment. There is not a mortgage lien filed on the property.
So what does that mean in terms, so Funnigan's goes bankrupt.
Okay.
Okay, and somebody else wants to buy that building. Does the assessment, we've made the assessment, right? So unless we were to act, that assessment would continue. And I'm assuming we could not rescind that assessment. Is that right? Okay, so if the property were vacant for 15 years, that would be the end of it.
Yeah, well, yeah, you would hope at some point.
Right, I understand.
The worst case scenario is usually what cities ask. If the property goes into foreclosure, default, sheriff sale, and there's not enough proceeds from the sale of the property to cover the assessment, what happens?
Oh, okay.
The Port Authority recognizes that as our risk, and we would take that as our risk. And if there is not sufficient funds to cover it, then that would be our loss. However, I would tell you that the Port Authority would probably step in and buy the property ourselves.
Well, we want this to be successful, obviously. I'm just wondering what the downside is. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, worst case scenario, I would anticipate on a property like that, if they defaulted and it went through the entire process, we would probably step in the property and
repurpose
it to ensure that our assessment is covered.
Thank you. That's all I
have. One other question, Leslie. And I'm not asking this because I don't think it's a good idea, but I need a talking point or two. What, other than being a good civic partner, is there a benefit to the city of Sylvania for us to do this?
To the city specifically?
It's not a revenue opportunity.
No, it's really a benefit of the property, owners and those wanting to take advantage of the program.
Does it have any economic development benefits at all?
I think most people that may want to, what the ESID does is provide energy upgrades for buildings that may be inefficient. So building any, for residences, homes older than 50 years.
I'm more interested in commercial applications.
I think so. This could be, for instance, Pumpkins would not be able to make these improvements if it weren't for this program.
Okay.
Will
we have any exclusivity with this, or is it being offered to all of our government partners?
Yes. There's several that are Oregon, Miami, they already are members of the ESID.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
It's kind of like a community reinvestment
I just grant. Like to add, Mark, I think it makes your area more attractive. I think that's just another benefit to the community by having this available.
I probably agree with that. Yeah.
Okay, no more questions. There are three votes to take on this. There's resolution one and ordinances one and two. I've asked Mrs. Westfall to read the resolution, but then I would like to ask Mrs. Hussman to read ordinance number one and Mrs. Capellini to read ordinance number two. Logic being, your names do not appear elsewhere in my list of people reading ordinances tonight. So we didn't want you to feel left out.
Thanks.
So Mrs. Westfall, resolution number one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 1-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Accepting the petition of Vibrant Ventures LLC and Northwest Ohio Advanced Energy Improvement District to create an Energy Special Improvement District, ESID, under Ohio Revised Code Chapters 1710 and 727, authorizing the council and mayor to designate a member to serve on the board of director of the Northwest Ohio Advanced Energy Improvement District, the nonprofit corporation that will govern the ESID, and declaring the necessity of proceeding with the special energy improvement projects and approving the plans and specifications therefore, stating the method for making the special assessments against the benefited properties and the amount of such special assessments as amended, and waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. And to clarify, I believe the amended has to do on page 5, section 1, Mr. Hanum's note that this council instead of board. Is that correct, Mr. Hanum?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that resolution number 1-2019 as amended be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 1-2019.
Second.
It's moved and seconded for passage of resolution 1-2019 as amended as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and resolution number 1-2019 as amended is approved. Moving on to ordinance number 1-2019. Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 1-2019. All members of council previously receiving copies, I would like to read by title only. Determining to proceed with certain Vibrant Ventures Energy Improvement Project by way of special assessments in accordance with Chapters 1710 and 727 of the Ohio Revised Code, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 1-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 1-2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 1-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance one, 2019, is approved. Now moving on to ordinance two, 2019. Mrs. Capellini.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 2-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Levying special assessments for the Vibrant Ventures Energy Improvement Project, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 2-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to move final passage of ordinance number 2-2019. Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 2-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 2-2019 is approved. Thank you for being with us tonight. Certainly. Probably leave them with the clerk or the law director. Mrs. Snyder, thank you for being here. Sorry it took a little longer at the beginning than expected. All right, that gets us up to agenda item 8. This has to do with the service director's report on Silica Drive resurfacing and authorizing the clerk to advertise for bids. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're ready to move forward with the project, the resurfacing project of Silica Drive. This project is between Combat Boulevard and the Western or Southern Drive into Northview High School. It includes milling the top 2 inches, putting a membrane interlayer down, and then the surface course. The estimated cost of the project is $94,317, and this project was included in the 2019 capital improvement plan, and we would like to council to authorize the clerk to advertise for bids.
Question, Mr. Mayor?
Certainly.
Kevin, will there be any closure of Silica as this is being done?
There will be likely some short-term closures. That's one of the reasons we are doing this. We want to get the project out for bid. And the project schedule is set for the summertime between, while Northview High School as well as Lord's University are
So complete street closures, not lane closures?
Yes.
Okay.
I think, Mr. Aller, just to clarify, it's a milling, and you're going to close it during the milling, but then it can open up again, and then it'll be closed during the repaving. It's not a reconstruction all the way down. So it's a short interruption.
Yes, yeah.
We do request a motion that the clerk of council be authorized to advertise for bids. Mr. Richardson.
I move to authorize the clerk of council to advertise for bids for the Silica Drive resurfacing.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to authorize the clerk of council be authorized to advertise for bids. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 9. You have the service director's report about the Monroe and Silica intersection improvements. If you recall, those have been funded with a CMAQ or congestion mitigation and air quality grant funds. It's time to begin engineering on this. And Mr. Aller, take it from there.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the grant funds were received. It's approximately a $3.6 million project, and we have $2,373,000 in grant funds that will be coming towards us for that project. It is time to move forward with the engineering, and so we would like to move forward with requesting letters of interest from consulting contractors to move forward with that design. Even though we're in January of 19, I do want to remind you that this project is scheduled for construction in 2022. With the involvement, potential involvement with the school and library and ourselves, we want to make sure that we're moving forward so we can keep the project moving in a timely manner.
How much do we have in the budget for this? That number isn't in here.
I apologize. It's about $430,000, I believe. Mr.
For the engineering?
Yes.
I have a question. So when it says to add these turn lanes or install a two-lane roundabout, what are we doing?
That'll be part of the design. That'll be part of the first stage of the, $430. About half of that is going to be in preliminary engineering, and for those decisions to be vetted, and then we will come back for the final design at the end of the, year.
Okay, when we're talking, I've had so many people talk to me about the roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the elementary school, the library, Northeast students. I mean, a two-lane, unless it's a one-lane roundabout that you could actually cross, but a two-lane roundabout. I mean, I'm just wondering if there's going to be some kind of, like, community meeting or something.
Yeah, if you remember public information meeting that we had for the interchange,
yeah.
That meeting will take place for this project.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
that very same.
So just to confirm, council will have some additional points at which we can either approve or disapprove this project, right?
Correct.
Okay, because I agree with Katie. I have heard nothing positive about a roundabout from our neighbors in that area.
It was when the grant money was first announced, it was in there that we put a roundabout there, and I've talked to the principals and school board members down at Springfield High School who have a two-lane roundabout adjacent to their school. And roundabouts work very well to move traffic, but they don't work very well for pedestrians. So we've talked about that possibility, but the other vision for this is that we have two lanes coming east on Monroe Street that can get up to Silica, and then we're building another eastbound lane east of Silica, so you have two lanes of through traffic. And then we'd add a dedicated right turn lane to turn right into the high school. That's where the
yeah,
congestion
but that's
is.
That's different from a roundabout.
And we'd still
right?
have a traffic light there that would have cross
yeah.
lights.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to remain open to a roundabout idea. I'm told that there's a way to make it work, but I don't know what that idea is yet. That's what this preliminary engineering is going to examine for us. We need to make the call, and that's why it's written that we're going to have one or the other of these
okay,
solutions.
I just want to make sure that we have a final say
right.
on what
absolutely.
Direction we go. Okay, thank you.
And there's two lanes heading eastbound on Monroe Street, east of the railroad tracks. It's planned that a second eastbound lane be installed in front of City Hall and in front of the library. Those were taken into account in the library site plan drawings. And I think that will help congestion. The trouble now is we have one eastbound lane, and whether they're turning right or going straight, it takes a long time to move all that traffic through that intersection.
I'm personally very familiar with that, so I
think some of you on City Council are even more familiar than that,
yeah.
that drive through that. And it's a world of difference on school days than not school days.
Right. Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. We would request authorization from City Council to put out request of letter of interest solicitation.
Is this all on us, this engineering work?
I believe the engineering work is city costs, and then ODOT comes in on the construction costs. Yes.
Okay.
It's my understanding that the CMAC funds became available when the City of Toledo and the Village of Ottawa Hills abandoned their
right.
improvements for C-Corps.
My recollection to that. Okay.
And the state of Ohio is cutting back on CMAC funds. I've seen those in the future, but these years are not affected by that. We should be okay. Mr. Richardson.
I move to allow the administration to begin requesting letters of interest for the Monroe and Silica intersection improvements.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to authorize the city to have letter of interest solicitation for this engineering. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to agenda item 10, you have a report from the service director about the Sylvania Avenue pump station generator. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On Sylvania Avenue, right across from the Boy Scout. Thank you, Chief. Right across from Camp Miaconda, there is a pumping station. Some of you may or may not even realize that it's there. That pumping station actually is currently served it has the ability to have electrical power coming from either direction. However, for that to occur, we typically get power from one direction. For it to switch to the other one, there's pretty extensive switchgear that's in place for that to occur. That switchgear has failed several times. Toledo Edison are the only ones that are supposed to work on it. Toledo Edison's are the only ones that are supposed to even operate the switchgear. And if they have a large power outage, sometimes getting personnel to respond is an issue. In order to replace that switchgear, it's very costly, very expensive. And so what we're proposing instead is to put a standalone power generator on site so that when power is lost at that station, it'll automatically switch over to the generator and that pumping station stays in operation. And we don't run the risk of sewage spilling over into nearby creeks. The total cost of the project is $173,025. However, our agreement with the Lucas County Sanitary Engineer has them participating. They agree to participate in operation, maintenance, replacement, any costs associated with that pumping station based on the proportionate share of flow. They actually, that pumping station, 80% of its flow actually comes from the sanitary engineer service area versus our service area. So the sanitary engineer will ultimately reimburse us for 80% of this $173,000 once the project is complete. So the city's final all-in cost, so to speak, would be $35,000. But it is our pumping station. It's just the way the flow ended up occurring out there, they end up being a much larger percentage of the flow that station handles. So,
do we own that pumping station?
We own that.
In the township?
Yes. So we would ask for permission for the clerk to advertise for bids.
This would not be the city's only generator like this. We have another big generator that I'm sure you've seen at the water pumping station at Brent and Main Street. That one kicks on whenever there's a power outage, and it exercises itself regularly to make sure that it's ready to run when we need it. That one did go into use a few years ago when we had trees fall in that area and all of Southwest Sylvania was knocked out by an oak tree that fell into the pumping station building and took out those lines as well. Are there any other big generators around town?
We have another large one at our Monroe Street sewage pumping station that's behind Burger King. There's a large one there, and I believe that's the only large one. We have another one on Maple Avenue, or Maple Drive, I'm sorry. It's a very small pumping station, but it has a generator, but it's a very small.
All right. Mr. Hanum, you ask about it being in the township. There's another city installation on McCord Road just north of Central Avenue where I see city crews going down in a man lift. I wouldn't want to go down there.
No, you wouldn't.
but I assume that there's a meter down there or something?
Yes, that's where our main flow meter, that meter that's down in that meter pit is what our sewage bill is based on with Lucas County. And it also has a sampler, automatic sampler in it that draws waste into bottles. And then we have to take those bottles down to the wastewater treatment plant and have them tested for certain parameters.
No, that's just another installation we have outside the city limits. Okay. We need to authorize the clerk to advertise for bids for this generator. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we authorize the clerk to advertise for bids for the Sylvania Avenue Pump Station generator.
Second.
And moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 11. You have a report from the service director about Erie Street and Monroe Street traffic study. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Continuing with our design and our planning for future CMAC funding, we would like to move forward with the Monroe and Erie intersection and do a study of that intersection to determine what the existing levels of service are and what improvements may be made to improve those levels of service, if there are any improvements needed. We talked with Tetra Tech to perform that study. Tetra Tech was the firm that conducted the study for our Monroe and Silica intersection project that we're now going out for letters of interest. They also were the firm that put together our coordinated signal program, probably been 15, 20 years ago, long time ago. So they're very familiar with our intersections, the signalization, the system that we have, and we would recommend moving forward with this proposal to conduct a study for Erie and Monroe.
Mr. Fry, I saw your email expressing concern about the difficulty of getting in and out of your neighborhood, and I saw Mr. Aller's response to you that that'll be part of the study as well.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We do have an ordinance for this one to accept the proposal of Tetra Tech. It's ordinance number 3. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 3, 2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Accepting the proposal of Tetra Tech to conduct a traffic study at the intersection of Erie Street and Monroe Street, appropriating funds, therefore, in the amount of $18,500, waiving the second and third reading, and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 3, 2019, be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 3, 2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 3, 2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 3, 2019 is approved. Turning to the second page of our agenda tonight, you can see that the service department is off to a rousing start here at the year. Thank you, Mr. Aller and Mr. Shaw. But we'll continue on with proposed work, another study. This is for the Alexis Road Relief Storm Sewer Study. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If you recall, in 2017, in the beginning of the end of 2017, we hurriedly came to you with permission to participate with a project that ODOT was putting together on Alexis Road that unfortunately we didn't get much advance notice on. As part of the hydraulic study that was done for that project along Alexis Road, it was discovered that the existing storm sewer along Alexis Road, even with some of the improvements that we were able to make, is still surcharged and still overloaded at times. The answer to that is to provide a relief sewer, and there is a sewer waiting for us, if you will, towards the western end of McGregor Road. If you're familiar with that area, the Schultz, Roan, and Alger area, it's on the south side of Alexis Road. Well, actually, Roan does extend to the north. Everything in that area tends to flow to the southwest as far as natural drainage is concerned. As part of the ProMedica improvement, when that new building was constructed, we allowed them to utilize a certain amount of that 30-inch pipe, maintaining enough capacity for us to be able to use to be able to take that whetstone area into that same pipe. What we would like to do now is move forward with the study to determine what sizes of pipe should be throughout that neighborhood to be able to take some of that existing flow that now goes to the Alexis Road sewer, take some of that flow off of that line and be able to take it down through the existing 30-inch line and so that line on Alexis Road does not surcharge. I'm sure some of you have been through the Lexus Road area and seen the first property that you can always tell when something's happening with the storm sewer is the Sylvania Diner. It, you know, unfortunately, it sets in a bowl, sets well below the finished grade of Lexus Road, and that's the first area that it comes up. And this relief sewer, this study will tell us what we need to do to be able to alleviate that whole area and improve. Right now, those streets in there are unimproved. They're just straight regular streets, no storm sewer. The pavements fail quickly because there aren't any under drains within the pavement. So there's nothing to get that water out. So the pavements don't last as long. So we would like to permission to move forward with the study. Northwest Consultants is the firm that conducted the initial study, and we would recommend moving forward with them and continue that same work.
Kevin, I remember the city doing some work over that way maybe 10 or 12 years ago. I don't know if you were here then or not. Is this that work that was done? There was a drainage problem on the back lot lines of some of the houses on those streets, and I remember walking through there and getting some work done. Is that, these are not, that has never been an upgrade in this particular neighborhood?
No, not to my knowledge. Okay. No, we're not showing
it. Okay, the area I'm thinking of was directly to the north of Whetstone Park, northwest. No?
Yeah, I don't have any records that show anything like okay. this.
No. Drainage has been a problem in that area for a long time.
Yeah, right.
And whenever we looked at improving the roads in there, we couldn't do it without building a connecting storm sewer all the way over to McCord Road and take it, or over to Monroe and take it under Monroe and get it into the ravine at Sylvania Country Club. Okay. This is an opportunity to move that drainage ahead and solve the problems in that area. We have ordinance 4 to hire Northwest Consultants, Inc. to provide these engineering services. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 4-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Accepting the proposal of Northwest Consultants, Inc. to provide professional engineering services for the Alexis Road Relief Storm Sewer Study Project. Appropriating funds, therefore, in the amount of $17,560. Waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 4-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 4-2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 4-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 4-2019 is approved. I will move on to the South Main Street Sanitary Sewer in Phase 1 project. Report from the Service Director, Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. this project entails, it's a two-part project, and the first part will be a sewer lateral reconstruction. What that is going to entail at this point, we're not 100% sure. We are contemplating two different methods of being able to complete that project. But regardless, this survey work will be needed. And so we'd like to move forward with it. Many of the sewer laterals in that area are an old original construction that came into the top of the pipe and then came up vertically and then moved horizontally over to the houses. What's occurred to a lot of those older pipes is those, you can imagine over the years, the amount of weight and gravity working to where those laterals have just busted right through the top of the pipes. And many of those laterals are in that condition and need to be replaced. We're contemplating a couple different methods. One is to go in and just replace the laterals in conventional construction. Another one that we're looking at would be the first installation that we've used in the city. I've been part of a large project where many of these were put in, but a pressure system where you have intermittent pumping stations serving two different homes. So that, from an excavation standpoint, is much less intrusive because all you're doing is digging a small trench about 5 or 6 feet in the ground versus some of these sanitary sewer laterals are 20 foot deep in the middle of Main Street. So that you can imagine how construction would be for that. So this survey work will also be used once we are done with this project. We'll line the existing sewer, much like we did 2 or 3 years ago, I think, in multiple places throughout the city, just because of the age and the sewer is beginning to get into poor shape. So we will line the main sewer, but not until we have the lateral work complete. So it'll be a two-phase project. But we are moving forward. We did receive 5 proposals. The lowest cost proposal was from Lee Lebowski Engineers of Toledo. Their proposal was $8,564. We've done a lot of work with Lee Lebowski. They do a lot of site work that we see on private work, and we would recommend moving forward with this contract as well.
Okay, we have ordinance number 5-2019 to accept the proposal of Lewandowski Engineers, LLC. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 5-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Accepting the proposal of Lewandowski Engineer, LLC to provide professional surveying services for the South Main Street Sanitary Sewer Improvement Project, appropriating funds, therefore, in the amount of $8,564, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
And moved and seconded that ordinance number 5-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 5-2019.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 5-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 5-2019 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 14. This is proposed ordinance 54-2018 from last year. This is amending the codified ordinances of Sylvania 1979 to add small cell technology in the right-of-way requirements. Mr. Richardson, this was in your committee because they're in the right-of-way. They want to mount them on our streetlight poles, on our traffic light poles, and things like that. I know that your committee has taken a look at it. I don't know if you're satisfied. I know Mr. Fry had a number of questions on it. We do have the ordinance here ready to move ahead, if you are.
I am.
All right. Ordinance 54-2018.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance 54-2018. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Amending the codified ordinance of Sylvania 1979, as amended by adding Chapter 953, Small Cell Technology in the Right-of-Way, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's moved and seconded that ordinance number 54-2018 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 54-2018.
Second. Second.
And moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 54-2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 54-2018 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 15. This is something that we do annually. We appoint the clerk of council to be our designee to attend training programs about public records law. TMACOG has established a training date coming up in a month or two that'll take place at Owens Community College in their Veterans Hall building. And Mrs. Booker is available and willing, I believe, to be appointed as our designee.
Paid to be our designee?
I have attended these in the past when I was chair of TMACOG. I introduced it and I went through it. They are interesting to attend, but I don't know that most of you would get anything much new out of it. They are conducted by the Auditor of State and they do a very good job on it. We are not trying to say you cannot attend on your own. However, I recommend resolution number 2, 2019. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 2-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. A resolution designating the clerk of council as the mayor and the city council's designee to attend training programs and seminars about the public records law as required by Ohio Revised Code Section 109.43, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
So moved and seconded that resolution number 2, 2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 2-2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 2, 2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 2, 2019 is approved. Agenda item 16 is a notice of a liquor permit for element 112 for D1, D2, and D3. Chief, can you explain to me what's going
on
here?
This is I believe it's a membership ownership stock. The list right there.
Names are listed, yeah.
From what I understand, you have new members listed there.
There's a permit on the property now. Are we adding anything new to the property?
No.
So this is really amending it?
It's just I believe it's a transfer of stock membership.
Okay.
So.
I see the only person that I thought the owner, Chris Nixon, is listed there, but there are other investors in the project as well. So. Okay. Again, if there's no change to the alcohol or the hours being proposed,
just to the noise.
You have no.
Well, the police department has no objections or any concerns whatsoever.
I know I received no complaints about this property. City council has the right to request the hearing be held locally or can waive that local hearing.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hanum.
Yeah, I would move that we not request a hearing on
second
this permit.
It's been moved and seconded not to request a hearing on the Element 112 LLC liquor permit change. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to agenda item 17, committee reports. There is a committee of the whole meeting held this evening in council chambers. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, tonight, January 7th, 2019, we held a committee of the whole meeting to discuss the U.S. 23 Monroe Street Bridge Aesthetics Project. All members of council were present, as well as the mayor and members of administration. There were guests in the audience here for another topic. The project, actually, Mr. Aller addressed this issue and brought council members up to speed, sharing that the project is scheduled for 2021, that this is different than the interchange project. This is considering the bridge over Monroe Street. He indicated the abutments will remain the same. They looked at aesthetics in many communities, and he showed many diagrams via PowerPoint. And he did share with us that administration liked what they saw in Auburn Hills, Michigan, and he demonstrated via the PowerPoint what that looked like. He did indicate that there would be a sidewalk on the north side of the road only and gave a little more detail on that. He shared with us that ODOT makes the final decision, but generally ODOT is willing to work with the city. The city needs to be back to ODOT by the end of January 2019 with our thoughts, and there's no action required, and there was a commitment to report back to the city council members when the next steps are approved via the meeting adjourned at 7:26.
Comments or questions? Thank you. Moving on to 17B, a report of the employee and community relations meeting from this date. Mr. Lukey.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The Committee Employee Relations Committee met this afternoon at 5:30 for the purpose of interviewing final applicants for the Sage Yard Board. You may recall that this was our second go-around with this appointment. We had some procedural issues the first time and had to reopen it for public interest. interestingly, we had only one carryover from that process and two new candidates, and I think the committee and the other members of council that were there were universally impressed and delighted by the quality of the three individuals who came forward to be considered for this appointment. They were Brian Keiser, John Zechman, and Callie Zake, and they each had a chance to talk with the committee. We had a little discussion and ultimately decided that our appointment recommendation would be Brian Keiser. His resume is in front of all council members, as well as a resolution to appoint him to the Sagard Board. I need to say, however, that Ms. Zake was very impressive. She's a new resident of Sylvania. She has five children going to Sylvania schools and is an active user of Sagard. And the feeling was that we need, the council as a group needs to begin thinking about appointing younger members to some of these boards. And we were so impressed with her that the committee asked me to make the Sagard people aware via Mrs. Capellini about her availability, perhaps to an appointment by them to the Rec Board or the TAMO Board, to get her involved with some community volunteerism. I'm also going to make the school district, the school board president, and the trustees aware of her availability in case they have an appointment to Sagard as well. We really were very impressed with her, but felt that Mr. Keiser had a tad more experience, and experience is important when you have a seat at the Sagard Board, because they are a tough cast of characters over there. So, if you'd like, I'll introduce Resolution 3 with Mr. Keiser being named as their appointment.
All right. The law director must have responded quickly. Has a resolution ready to go for you here, Resolution 3, 2019.
You should have seen her back there typing it herself, Mr. Mayor, after the meeting. I'd like to introduce Resolution Number 3, 2019. Copies have been made available to members of council previously. Therefore, I'll read by title only, appointing Brian Keiser to the Board of Trustees of Sylvania Area Joint Recreation District, or Sagard, for a term expiring December 31st, 2021, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that Resolution Number 3, 2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Yes, I move final passage of Resolution Number 3, 2019.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution 3, 2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Resolution 3, 2019 is approved, appointing Brian Keiser. I'm sure that you will let the other two candidates know the decision.
Will.
And I would caution you not to tell Mr. Zechman he's too old.
I don't believe we said that at all. Just looking forward in future.
He's looking forward. He actually has his gravestone. He and his wife has his gravestone near my parents' gravestone at Toledo Memorial Park. And I said it was very, looked very cold and vacant over the holidays.
I must say, Mr. Zechman, when he said that he was 70, I was surprised because he's looking very fit and.
He went through Achilles tendon surgery 5 or 6 years ago, and since then he has rejuvenated.
Yes. Yeah, Katie asked him if he was up to attending meetings at 7:30 in the morning. He said he gets up and plays handball or racquetball at 6, so he thought he could make the 7:30 meeting.
I'm sure he could. All right, thank you. Any further committee reports or committee referrals to be made at this time? I refer City Council to information item A. You have a final report for 2018 from the Office of,
as an intern.
Of Taxation.
No.
You can see that our tax receipts were down, was down 2%. Refunds were up, deposits were down. Any comments about this, Mr. Schroyer?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. With that, we've had a long evening. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned till their next meeting, 2 weeks from tomorrow, on Tuesday, January 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Thank you for attending, and we'll see you then.
The, this